Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm your host, Rob Dew, and today's date is Thursday, August 16th, 2012, and here's a look at the Power Pack show we have for you coming up.
Tonight, the Pentagon is developing humanoid robots to perform evacuation operations. Then, an Oxford professor says that genetically engineering ethical babies is a moral obligation. Plus, Megadeth frontman Dave Mustaine is coming under fire for suggesting that the Obama administration could have been responsible for the Batman massacre. That's up next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
So we have a big show lined up for you today. In case you were listening to the Alex Jones radio show, you noticed we had a lot of big guests. We had Richard Belzer, Christopher Walken, and at the end of the show, we played an interview from Dave Mustaine where he wanted to clarify some remarks he made that were from a concert when he was over in Europe. And we posted the article, Dave Mustaine, Obama Staged Batman Massacre. And so we got a couple quotes here, basically what he said on stage. So he's staging all these murders, like the Fast and Furious thing down on the border, Aurora, Colorado, all the people were killed there, and now the beautiful people at the Sikh temple. I don't know where I'm going to live if America keeps going that way, because it's going to look like it's turning into Nazi Germany. Mustaine has been savaged by numerous media outlets for his comments, despite the fact that the Fast and Furious program, which saw the Obama administration put guns directly into the hands of Mexican drug cartels, has led to the murders of hundreds of people. And Dave Mustaine is not the only guy to say this. We had Larry Pratt on the show, who said the exact same thing. He actually brought out the numbers. There's about 400 people that have been killed that are directly tied to Fast and Furious. And that doesn't even count the ones we don't know about, or the amount of guns that we've shipped down there that are going to be involved in future murders. And that's all done by Eric Holder, the Obama administration, people on his watch. So when Dave Mustaine was saying Obama, he's talking about the entire administration. And what he did, actually, we shot our interview in this studio where he came on, and here's the article. It's exclusive. Dave Mustaine clarifies Obama stage shooting statement. And basically, you look at it, and, you know, it goes into it. There's the video right there that we shot in the studio during the radio show. And we're going to go to that that interview right now, that video of it. It's about 7 minutes long, but it shows you, it's got Dave clarifying what he meant when he said Obama. He's meaning Obama at large, the entire administration. And then also, right after that, we go to the comments that Larry Pratt made just a few days later after we aired the interview that it was a radio interview that Dave and Alex did back on the 20th of July, if I remember correctly. Then we had Larry Pratt on, and he said the exact same thing. And so what Dave was saying, he goes, I was just saying what Larry Pratt was saying. And if you think I'm bad, well, why don't you talk to Larry Pratt? Because here's a very well-respected guy in the Second Amendment community. He's come out and said that Fast and Furious was staged by the government. Well, we all know that. The memos have come out. They wanted to demonize the Second Amendment, and they were looking for reasons to go after the Second Amendment. So when we have these staged shootings, we need to look at the number one suspect, which is the government. They're the ones who have something to gain from this. You know, gun owners like myself and other people out there do not have anything to gain from supporting mass shootings or having mass shootings out there. We don't want this. This is not something we want. This is not what the Second Amendment's about. The Second Amendment is about protecting you from the government. So the government is the only one that has any interest in taking away your guns. This was going on the same time as the UN report. The UN treaty that they were going to sign, this was a couple days before, actually, the Aurora massacre, and then you have the Sikh temple shooting, both of which you've got different witnesses saying different things, saying they saw multiple shooters, gas canisters being thrown from different directions. There's photos of gas masks, and then a photo of a gas mask that has a knife next to it, and then the next photo, the knife is gone from the gas mask, all kinds of stuff. We're actually going to play a little bit later after we play this video. John Bound did a great piece on just covering the gambit of the Aurora massacre. So first we're going to play this video with Dave Mustaine and Alex Jones, which then goes into a Larry Pratt interview.
And joining us on the phone line is the founder of Megadeth, Dave Mustaine. He wants to clarify and respond to the huge international story that has broken in the last 24 hours concerning his comments taken out of context at an overseas concert concerning the tragic shootings in the last month here in the United States. Dave, thanks for being with us.
You're welcome, Alex. It's good to be with you.
Dave, they are certainly attacking the First Amendment and trying to basically twist what you've said from a concert. What did you really mean by what you said, Dave?
Well, look, first off, it's good to be with you, Alex. And to clarify things, no one can deny that there were criminal rogues in the administration. And CBS News got the memos. Congress has the information. And basically, Larry Pratt, the head of Gun Owners of America, who's a highly respected person, said that if they would stage Fast and Furious, they'd be capable of staging anything. And it was all done to blame the Second Amendment. We'd be fools not to look at this. You know, our U.S. Border Patrol agents were killed. And like I said, I was just quoting Larry Pratt. That's it, bottom line.
I wonder why they're not attacking Larry. He's been in the news. He's been on my show, but he's been in major newspapers saying, look, thousands died in Mexico, hundreds in the U.S., Border Patrol agents, police officers. And as you said, you've done your homework. CBS News months ago got the memos where they said they were going to blame the Second Amendment. So I think you're clarifying, though, with that criminal rogue statement that you're saying we don't know Obama. When we say Obama, we mean the administration. I mean, clearly, people in the administration, and they won't release the rest of the documents they're covering up, they did do this. They did stage a false flag. So is that what you're clarifying, that you're saying somebody in the administration could have been behind this?
Right. You know, when you're in the heat of the moment, when you're on stage and you're talking, you know, sometimes you're not as eloquent as you'd like to be, but... like I said, I was just quoting what Larry said, and we really need to investigate this, and we need to have the Attorney General release the documents and find out who's responsible for this. People died, you know, the democratic process is let's investigate, let's find out what's going on here. I love our country, you know, and I respect. And, you know, my whole thing with this is that I think we should just look into it.
Well, I'm going to air this here on the radio, Dave, and I'm going to add to it the fact that a bunch of Democratic strategists have said on Hardball, but also in memos, that a mass shooting would help them, quote, reconnect with the public. And we were talking just last week on the phone when you were overseas with me. We were talking about the fact that the witnesses, the president of the Sikh group, said they were being cased by multiple men. Multiple witnesses reported up to four shooters. I mean, we'd be crazy not to question the fact that with the Batman tragedy and the Sikh tragedy, it doesn't add up.
Yeah, there's some questions here. You know, I just think that we deserve to know the truth. That's it.
Well, you have a lot of courage. That's why they took this video, you up there in the heat of the moment on the stage, tongue-in-cheek, and tried to twist it. They want to attack the First Amendment and shut us up so we don't look at Fast and Furious. Dave Mustaine of Megadeth, any other points you'd like to add?
No, just, you know, I'm a patriot. I love our country. And, you know, I've always been controversial. I'm a political songwriter. And this wasn't done to hurt any of my fellow countrymen. You know, I think that it's something we really, really need to look into.
Well said. And again, national media, you want to attack Dave Mustaine? This is going to backfire on you. Here's a clip of Larry Pratt on my show weeks ago, saying what Dave Mustaine said. But he's got millions and millions of supporters in the Second Amendment community. He's a Fox News contributing guest. They're scared to go after Larry Pratt. I think this is going to blow up in their face. Here's a clip of Larry Pratt. What does your gut tell you? And now a week later in the aftermath, what is the intel you've got on this shooting in Colorado? Am I wrong for being suspicious?
I don't think you're wrong. I would have disagreed with you before Fast and Furious because I never in my wildest fears would have thought that our government would actually premeditatedly kill some 400 Mexicans have been murdered and a couple of our U.S. agents. So after we caught them planning premeditatedly for a program that would get people murdered, one of the whistleblowers submitted a report on weekly briefings at ATF. And when the head of the ATF at the time would be given the increase in body counts in Mexico, he would say things like, good, the program's working. Well, so this was no mistake. This was not a sting operation gone bad. This was premeditated murder. Well, if our government would do that, then even though I think the evil of the human heart is sufficient to account for somebody that wants to go and shoot people at random, we've had, since we've been keeping records in this country, this has happened every few years since the 1870s, 10, 20, 30 people being murdered at a time. By the way, long before semi-automatics were available to people. So this is what human beings are capable of. And now we have to admit that maybe this is something that our government is capable of, because this is only 12 people murdered. They were good for 400 in Fast and Furious.
Wow. My friends, we need to support Gun Owners of America for their courage. We need to support Dave Mustaine and Megadeth for his courage. We need to spread the word about what they're doing. There's going to be a big orchestrated backlash of political correctness, because they know people are waking up to try to shut down free speech. So support Megadeth, just like people supported Chick-fil-A. Buy their great new record, 13. Go to their website and financially get behind them. Even if you don't agree with these statements completely, agree with the First Amendment. Even if you didn't agree with the Dixie Chicks, they shouldn't have been persecuted for saying the Iraq War was wrong. We need to support the First Amendment and stop these witch hunts. Dave Mustaine, I admire you, because you've got guts, and guts is enough.
So there's that interview that we shot today in this studio. Alex talking to Dave, letting him clarify his remarks. When he's talking about Obama, he's talking about the Obama body, I guess, the government that's under the dictator who has assumed control over our country. And then we followed that up with the Larry Pratt comments, where he says it right there. If they could stage Fast and Furious, they could stage anything. What's 12 people versus 400? You know, it's, to them, it's a numbers game. So we have that. And if you want to check that out online, it's Dave Mustaine clarifies Obama staged shooting statement. And there it is right there. That's the article. And then also the YouTube video. So send those out, make them viral. It's on the Alex Jones channel right now. You can go there and check those out, listen to that, and spread it around, because that's what it's all about. Now, I want to go to another video that John Bound put together. This is right after the Aurora shooting, after the kind of the dust had settled from the event, putting together all the different pieces of evidence that have come out since the shooting that basically points to multiple shooters, including when they arrested him, he was kind of sitting in his car. He was listless. He gave up without any type of struggle. You know, if you're going to go in and shoot 70-something people and kill 12 of them, are you really just going to sit there and give up and then tell the cops you have your apartment booby-trapped? Or is it possible he was under the influence of some kind of mind control drug? Well, we're going to have a guest later that actually went down to Colombia and he saw this type of mind control drug called scopolamine, or also known as devil's breath, that will actually put you into a trance and you will follow people around. People won't even know you're on this drug. He interviews people who had their apartments cleaned out, and they were actually helping the guy clean out the apartment. I mean, it's crazy stuff. So it could happen, and the drug is easy to get. He goes with a guy. The guy pulls it off of a tree in the middle of Colombia. He's in downtown Colombia. He's like, here it is right here. He shows it to him. And so these things can happen. Now we're going to go to John Bound's video, where he kind of connects all the dots to the Aurora shooting. So here's that video now.
Police Chief Dan Oates issues this immediate public statement claiming there is just one shooter.
Every single indicator is that this is all Mr. Holmes's activity, and that he wasn't particularly aided by anyone else.
This is the same police chief that presided over a blatant violation of the Fourth Amendment by illegally cuffing and detaining 40 innocent people, including women and children, for over 2 hours while looking for a bank robber. Early on, the police scanner supports the one-shooter theory.
16 Adam, I need a marked car behind the theater, Sable Side. Got a suspect in a gas mask.
10-9, okay, and we need car south side. Suspect in a gas mask.
The mainstream media promotes the one-shooter theory.
And honestly, for the record, there was only one guy. Yes, actually, the shooting probably started, like, lasted probably for like about a minute or two.
But according to the police scanner, another suspect is spotted just 3 minutes later.
321, one of the shooters might be wearing a white and blue plaid shirt.
Copy, outstanding. Shooter possibly wearing a white and blue plaid shirt.
He had his foot propped open by the door, and from the crack, it looked like he was signaling somebody or looking for somebody to come his way.
From what we saw, he wasn't alone. He had someone with him because the second can of tear gas didn't come from his side. He was completely dressed in black, head to toe. From what we saw, it seemed like he had something over his face, probably to prevent him from breathing it in. And we can only assume that someone got him in because he was... whatever he was wearing seemed thick, so I don't think he would really, I think he'd stand out in the crowd.
One shooter theory loses even more credibility when a second gas mask is discovered. How is it possible that 12 people were killed and 58 were injured by a semi-automatic weapon that jammed?
He shot easily like 60 or 70 rounds.
Then there's the official story given by the president himself concerning the blood path behind the theater. Obama claims that this wound spilled what appears to be buckets of blood. In the aftermath, the vulture media swoops in, misquoting Holmes' mother regarding the shooting, causing her to issue this statement.
I did not know anything about a shooting in Aurora at that time. He asked if I was Arlene Holmes and if my son was James Holmes, who lives in Aurora, Colorado. I answered yes. You have the right person.
Holmes' father worked for San Diego-based HNC Software Incorporated, a company that worked with DARPA to develop Cortronic Neural Networks. These enable machines to translate oral and visual stimuli and simulate human thinking. And Holmes' grandfather had deep ties into the intelligence framework of the U.S. military. The children of people with similar backgrounds are highly susceptible to exposure to Monarch mind control. Using brainwashed patsies in PSYOP massacres has become a commonplace thread in American history as the shadow government strengthens its stranglehold on public perception.
Instead of really digging into why this apartment would be rigged to kill, but then Holmes would then warn police and then lawyer up and not say anything else, where he got the funding and the firearms training, and these eyewitness reports that there was more than one person, yeah, instead of asking those questions, national media want to focus all their attention on why guns were legal in the first place.
Now is the time to shine a light on the obvious motive behind this tragic event, the motive to pass the United Nations Treaty on Small Arms. John Bowne, InfoWars Nightly News.
So there's that video that just goes over all the evidence. We even got some of the mainstream media backing our side of the story, and it definitely needs an investigation, and not where, you know, you have a chief of police who was a chief or was an inspector in New York during 9/11 saying nothing to see here, folks. It's only one shooter, you know, when there's multiple witnesses. Now we're going to play a quick clip from an eyewitness of the Sikh temple shooting where he saw four men, not one, four. So here's that clip.
And around 10, between 10 and 10:30, four white males who were dressed darkly, dressed in all black clothing, came in and opened fire on our congregation.
So Dave Mustaine, instead of being blasted by the mainstream media, should be commended for asking hard questions and for demanding answers from his country, especially in light of all this stuff where we know our government stages things like this. It's in their handbooks. You can look in the Army handbook for, I think it's captains and above. It talks about how to stage false flag attacks, how to create guerrilla movements within countries. It's all part of the playbook. You can go back to the Northwoods document. They talk about setting up sniper teams and picking off people to blame it on Cuba. We saw that with the D.C. snipers. I mean, people who analyzed that said these guys are military trained. They knew what they were doing. So we should all be backing Dave Mustaine, support him. Go to Megadeth.com, support Dave, because, you know, we need to support people who stand up for the truth instead of backing down and waiting and hoping the mainstream media doesn't call on us or any of that garbage. Let's move on to Syria now. Syrian rebel leader threatens to form alliance with Al-Qaeda if West doesn't provide arms. Well, they're already backing, they're already with Al-Qaeda, and I'll get to that in a second. But this is from Paul Joseph Watson. Terrorists already meet with rebels every day to coordinate bombing. So they're already meeting with them. So I think they have an alliance. That's pretty much an alliance. If you're coordinating bombings, I would call that an alliance. I don't know. While pro-rebel outlets continue to portray Al-Qaeda's presence in Syria as minimal, a report by the RAND Corporation concedes that Al-Qaeda has conducted roughly 24 attacks, primarily against Syrian security service targets, virtually all suicide attacks and car bombings, and they have resulted in more than 200 deaths and 1,000 injuries. The White House has not only failed to condemn these Al-Qaeda attacks, but has all but welcomed them, which is unsurprising given the fact that the Pentagon briefing back in March, it was concluded that special forces from the U.S., U.K., France, Jordan, and Turkey would be used to commit guerrilla attacks, assassination campaigns to try and break the back of Alati forces. That's Assad's support base, and elicit a collapse from within. So we've gone over this. The Germans are reporting it, that Al-Qaeda is in Syria. There's definitely an alliance going on. This is sort of a window dressing where the Syrian rebel leader says, we're going to side with Al-Qaeda unless you give us arms. Well, you're already doing it, so don't do us any favors, all right? Moving on, this is from the BBC. Julian Assange, Ecuador grants WikiLeaks founder asylum. And so he was looking for a place to be granted asylum just so he could escape, basically, you know, being brought to the U.S. and extradited and eventually put on trial and probably put to death. Foreign Secretary William Hague said the UK would not allow Mr. Assange safe passage out of the country. He has taken up residence in the Ecuadorian embassy. And basically what they're threatening to do is use something called the diplomatic. The UK authorities are threatening to use the Diplomatic and Consular Premises Act of 1987, which basically allows them to suspend diplomatic status of a country, which would allow the police to enter the building and arrest Assange for violating his bail. It moves on. This is Mr. Hague. He also warned that it could drag on for some considerable time. We will not allow Mr. Assange passage out of the United Kingdom, nor is there any legal basis for us to do so, he said. Mr. Hague said there would be no threat to storm the embassy. We were talking about an act of parliament in this country which stresses that it must be used in full conformity with international law. So basically they're going after the founder of WikiLeaks, who we've heard different things. Tarpley thinks the guy is part of a pawn in this game of letting out some pieces of intelligence while hiding others. And we've heard all kinds of things. But one thing's for certain, he was putting out information that was making people look bad, and the system does not like him, at least on the face value of it. So we'll see what happens there. Moving on to more news. This is from Steve Watson out of InfoWars. Pentagon developing autonomous humanoid robots to perform evacuation operations. DARPA enlists makers of Big Dog to construct machines that can think for themselves. And in case you're wondering what Big Dog is, it is a robot. It's like a pachyderm type robot that I've seen videos of this guy. He can run on ice, snow, uphill, downhill. And right now they have him tethered to cables, but that's going to be pretty scary when those things can go in any location, mounted with machine guns, with explosives, whatever. But here we go. The Department of Defense has awarded a lucrative contract to an engineering and robotics design company to develop and build humanoid robots that can act intelligently without supervision. And that goes on. It's Boston Dynamics Incorporated. So they've made all kind of stuff. They've even developed a cheetah, a fast-legged robot. It's a four-footer robot that gallops up to 18 miles an hour, and there's videos and links to that inside the article that you can go and watch. The robotic platforms will be humanoid, consisting of two legs, a torso, two arms with hands, and a sensor head and onboard computing. DARPA says that the robots will help conduct humanitarian disaster relief and related operations. So, oh, we saw what happened in Katrina when they were helping out with disaster relief and related operations. They were kicking in doors, telling people, we want your guns. And if you didn't give it to them, you were arrested immediately. And if you did, well, then you were left defenseless for the hordes of looters and criminals out there who were going to not turn in their guns and prey upon those who did. So now we have the Pentagon, who's going to be working with robots who have no compassion, who don't have the humanity, and who will perform those orders without question. We did have reports of some U.S. military not obeying the orders to confiscate guns. So that is a good thing. But we also know a lot of them did. We even had a guy call in a few weeks ago when Mike Adams was interviewing, or when Mike Adams was hosting the Alex Jones Show, and admitted that we were part of the group that went in there on these night raids. We were busted indoors asking if people needed assistance as we were taking their guns. And we did it without question. So it can happen, and it probably will happen again. Just wait for the next disaster to strike. Moving on, genetically engineered ethical babies is a moral obligation, says Oxford professor. And this is out of the Telegraph. Genetically screening our offspring to make better people is just responsible parenting, claims an eminent Oxford academic. And Professor Julian Savalscu said that creating so-called designer babies would be considered a moral obligation to make them grow up ethically better children. The expert in practical ethics said, we should actively give parents a choice to screen out personality flaws in their children as it meant they were less likely to harm themselves and others. Well, we know what that's going to make. That's going to make a bunch of yes people, a bunch of sheep, you know, because they consider questioning government authority to be a problem, and we wouldn't want that. We wouldn't want our babies growing up questioning authority, although I teach my kids to question authority regularly, especially if they feel they're being wronged. Now we're going into some environmental news, and this is out of NOLA.com, which is a paper in New Orleans. Mississippi River closed to shipping traffic as sill work begins. And sill is the type of dust that kind of floats around there in the river. The Mississippi River was temporarily closed to shipping traffic in New Orleans on Wednesday as contractors began building an underwater barrier that the Army Corps of Engineers says will stop the advance of salt water, threatening drinking water in the New Orleans area due to low water levels in the Mississippi River. Salt has been moving far upriver and was below the outskirts of New Orleans by Wednesday, nearly 90 miles north of the Mississippi River. On Wednesday, Plaquemines Parish issued an advisory to residents living in the parish that high levels of sodium and chloride were being measured in the drinking water. So there you go. We have these instances where last year the Mississippi River was flooding over and over again, way up north. They had tons of rain, tons of floods. And instead of having an infrastructure in place where you could divert that flood water to reservoir areas to use in these dry times, well, we don't do that for some reason. I don't know why. We have all this great technology, and we don't build a levee reservoir system that would be capable of absorbing certain, you know, you can't absorb all floods, obviously. God is going to be more powerful than anything we could ever build. But we could lessen those impacts where we lessen the droughts and then send that water down to the farmers who need it in the Midwest. Why don't we do that? Well, instead, we're busy spending money on killing and destroying people in other countries and giving foreign aid to a lot of countries that don't deserve it. One more story here on the Gulf. Saltwater encroaching Mississippi River threatening New Orleans drinking water. Bobby Jindal, on Wednesday, he's the governor, declared a state of emergency for Plaquemines Parish as it deals with encroaching saltwater threatening its drinking water. And let me tell you, the Mississippi River, they say it's the lowest that they've ever seen it in generations, and this is something they're definitely going to have to deal with. The Mississippi is the lifeblood of the Midwest, basically the center of the country. It kind of divides the east from the west. You know, we all know people west from the Mississippi and east from the Mississippi. That's how we kind of delineate who we are as Americans by that river. And if it were to dry up, it would cause a lot of havoc in terms of shipping, in terms of energy, in terms of silt. It brings a lot of silt down through, and basically when it does flood, or when it used to flood, it used to make those areas around the Mississippi very fertile, which is why in Louisiana you can grow a lot of crops over and over again because they have very high quality soil, and that's all due to the Mississippi River. So let's hope that they start to look at this problem seriously and maybe develop some plans to create locks and reservoirs and different channels that we can save water in the flood times and then disperse it in these dry times. We're going to move on now to the quote of the day, and this is from the worst president ever. I guess we got Obama now, so he's the second worst president now. This is from George W. Bush. Let us not tolerate outrageous conspiracy theories concerning the attacks of September 11th. Malicious lies that attempt to shift the blame away from the terrorists themselves, away from the guilty, who is us, because we had drills running the same day as 9/11, and then we claimed we never knew anything about these types of plans. We could have got Osama, and yet we didn't do it. And we also trained the flyer and the so-called flyers of these jets at naval bases around the country, and they were being followed by FBI informants. But we didn't bother to tell the American people that because, well, we used 9/11 to go into Iraq and in Afghanistan because that's the plan, is to take over the world. You got it? Well, that's our news section of the show. We're going to come back, hopefully, with our guest Ryan Duffy. We had some problems earlier connecting with him, so hopefully he will be here. If not, I'll be right back, and we'll just close out the show. So if you're not a member right now of Prison Planet TV, I encourage you to get a membership. It's easy. You go to prisonplanettv.com. We have a 15-day free trial, and there you can join up. You can watch the show at night when it comes on at 7 p.m. Central. You can watch Alex's live radio show. Today we had Richard Belzer and Christopher Walken just happened to jump right in and be part of the show. It was very interesting. And we also played the end of that, at the end of the show, we played that Dave Mustaine interview. We also have Alex's movies, his ebooks, his rants, our special reports that we put together, all kinds of stuff out there for you. So please consider becoming a member. It supports everything we do here, and we do appreciate it. You also have other ways you can support us. You can go to InfoWarsShop.com. You know, I just told you about the Mississippi River and their water quality is going down. Well, what if you had your own system where you could filter your own water out? I'm not saying the appropriate filters are going to filter out salt water, but they do filter out basically all contaminants. You can get water filtration units to actually filter out the fluoride in your water, which is pretty much everywhere in the United States. About 70% is covered with fluoridation, and that's not for your teeth. That is a poison, and it's basically so the fertilizer industry and the aluminum industry don't have to dispose of this toxic waste. They can basically put it in our water and tell us it's good for our teeth, and we're stupid slaves, so we believe them. And they've paid off county officials, so they keep this in. They throw out big programs. There's never any way to get this thing out except with pressure from the people. And it is happening in some cities. We are getting it out, and it's a fight we have to keep on fighting. So be sure you're drinking clean water out there. Get your ProPure system, and we'll be right back after this break.
I really enjoy it when the globalists try to poison us, and, well, we resist them via a free market system. Hello, my fellow info warriors. Alex Jones here, introducing you to the ProPure family of gravity-fed filters. Now, you know that the globalists are filling our water with radioactive isotopes, fluoride, lead, mercury, arsenic. And one of the few systems that can efficiently and economically remove or reduce down to non-detectable levels these poisons are gravity-fed filters. And ProPure is the top of the line. Their filters are impregnated with silver, a natural antibiotic. On top of that, they're bigger, so they filter faster. You don't have to prime these the first time you use them. It's amazing. Go to InfoWars.com and click on the shopping cart link to see the entire family of these babies. Now, the fluoride they add to our water is so tiny that most filters can't cut it out. But ProPure has their system that will, again, reduce it to non-detectable levels, almost get all of it out of there. That's also available. And if you look at the different systems they offer, the ProPure Big Brush Finish is on a stand, so it's easier on a table or at your restaurant or wherever you have it to go up with a glass or a mug and fill it up. Then there's this big baby right here, the ProPure King Large Version. Got a lot of different options that come with it. Also, they have the ProPure Big, probably one of the best values out there. And, of course, it's burnished stainless steel. And then what I use on my RV, something that's great for your hunting cabin or the back porch, is the ProPure Traveler. Small and portable, but packs a huge punch, cleans out all that garbage. They also have a glass sight spigot, so you don't have to take the top off and look in the bottom area to see how much water. You can see how fast it's filtering with this optional system. The globalists obviously are hitting us through our water. It's time to take control of our lives. It's time to not give our children and families these poisons. And these systems cut it down to non-detectable levels across the board. ProPure is the name. I only promote what I believe in. And I use ProPure in my home and my office. And I recommend that you check out the information on ProPure at InfoWars.com. We already have the lowest price at InfoWars.com on the ProPure gravity filter system. But when you add in the 10% off when InfoWarriors use the product code WATER at InfoWars.com, nobody can top it. So again, it's a win-win-win. Stop drinking the poison water. Checkmate the globalists when it comes to your health, and support InfoWars.com and the work we're doing here. You know, many revolutionaries rob banks and things and kidnap people for funds. We promote in the free market the products we use that are about preparedness. That's how we fund this revolution against the New World Order in our move to restore our constitutional republic and a spirit of 1776 worldwide. Check it out at InfoWars.com. ProPure, top of the line, number one, most powerful and effective and economical gravity-fed water system in the world. ProPure, available, discounted at InfoWars.com. Don't forget product code WATER to save 10%. It's the latest generation, years in development. ProPure is the name. I really enjoy it when the globalists try to poison. Alex Jones here with a message that could revolutionize health in this country. Going back about a year and a half ago, I began to learn about the incredible health effects of longevity products. Aaron Dykes lost 92 pounds. We're going to show you some before and afters. Aaron, break down what happened, your story.
I've worked really hard with diet and exercise to try to lose weight, but I just didn't get the results. It just didn't happen. Then I saw what you were doing with InfoWarsTeam.com. I wasn't even trying to lose weight, but I got it because I wanted to feel better energy. I wanted that nutrition. Didn't even understand how that could kickstart my own weight loss goals, but the products did that for me. I found myself suddenly losing weight, more energetic, wanting to exercise, wanting to eat the right foods.
And they don't even advertise it as weight loss. I want to challenge our radio listeners to go to InfoWarsTeam.com. Sign up as a distributor and get wholesale pricing discounts at InfoWarsTeam.com. Alex Jones here with a message to fellow freedom lovers. The prognosis for the entire planetary economic system runs from bad to worse. The globalist model is to shut down societies and starve patriots out until they acquiesce to the global takeover. That's why we've assembled the most vital and important preparedness items at InfoWarsShop.com. These are items that I did research on, that I personally use. You've got the Life Straw, so you can turn fetid water into safe water anywhere you go. The K-Tor hand crank generator to charge up key equipment during power outages or out in the field. Strategic Relocation, third edition by Joel Skousen. When Disaster Strikes by Matthew Stein. Therosafe, used by Homeland Security to protect yourself during any radiological event. Hand crank shortwave AM/FM radios. Everything that we've researched and found to be the best is available at InfoWarsShop.com, and your purchase makes our InfoWar possible. We're getting prepared. Are you? InfoWarsShop.com.
Welcome back to the InfoWars Nightly News. This is Rob Dew. I'm your host. Normally, this would be the interview section of our show. We started an interview earlier today with Ryan Duffy of Vice.com. We got one question in. His audio cut out, and then the video cut out. We called him back. He didn't answer. Tried him on the cell phone. Didn't work. So who knows? Maybe he got sucked into a time warp or something. I don't know. But what we're going to do, since Dave Mustaine has been in the news these last few days for the attacks that the media has been doing on him just for saying, hey, we need to look into this, into these mass shootings that just so happen to occur right when the people in power need that political capital to start banning guns. Well, he didn't say it that eloquently, but he said it on stage in front of thousands of people, and it obviously pissed off the establishment because they went on a rampage. So we're going to go to an interview that kind of predates the one that we just showed earlier in the show. We taped this one on the 20th of July. This was right after the Aurora shooting. Alex and Dave cover that. They cover the TSA. They cover Fast and Furious and a whole host of other subjects. So it's a really great interview. We're going to go ahead and go to that one now, and that will be the end of our show. Tomorrow we're going to have Alex Jones will be doing the news, and then Darren McBreen will be sitting in with Mike Adams covering a whole host of natural news / InfoWars related issues. So until then, we will see you tomorrow, and keep fighting the good fight.
Well, for all of our great radio listeners out there, we've got a real treat. Dave Mustaine, the founder of Megadeth, of course, one of the First Guys there in Metallica is here with us in Austin, Texas. It's always great to have Dave stop by. Dave, why are you in Austin, Texas?
Well, the truth is we're planning on moving to Texas, and so we're just out here house hunting, and it wouldn't be right if we didn't stop by and check in with your viewers and your listeners and see you and hang out. We consider you a close friend, and it just is the right thing to do, especially with everything that's going on right now. You know, last time we came through, we kind of talked a little bit about my world, and we didn't really talk about the world in general, which, I think a lot of people that tune into your program, they want to know what I think about, you know, what they believe, and not just what I do for a living and how my work is and the people that are in it. Although that's really interesting to a lot of people, it doesn't really touch on a lot of the topical subjects that affect us all. You know, not very many people are going to end up being a rock star for 30 years.
Dave, I'm not kissing your ass here, but I've met a lot of famous people, and they've always got something, you know, magic about them. Success. People are successful for a reason, because they have passion, they have dedication, they have a lot of art they want to express, but so many of them really are arrogant and disconnected. And what I've noticed is that you are so real and down to earth. And then there's that media image that we're told about Dave Mustaine, you know, which they kind of claim is the opposite of that. But I've just found that you are a real down-to-earth guy who really cares about average people and, quite frankly, opens doors for little old ladies.
Well, I think that's just like anything. You know, there's a counterfeit for everything. And I think a lot of people, you know, the way that they spin stuff in the liberal media, they have a counterfeit to what the truth is. And I think that there's a lot of people who have asked me to do certain things, and it's been against my morals. And when I say no, instead of them accepting that, they walk away and they say stuff about me. It's kind of like when you go to the dance and you walk up to some girl that's really hot and you ask her to dance and she says no for whatever reason. You walk away and you're like, well, F you. And fill in the blanks of the.
And you tell folks she's got cooties.
Yeah, right. In a much more colorful way. For me, a lot of that is it's funny to read. Some of it's a little bit disappointing. It started to bother me when my kids started to read it. But it's just the way the world right now. There's a lot of cowards that sit on the other side of computers and type stuff that they would never say to your face.
We were talking about that last night, about how in the old days, if you said something about somebody, they were going to come track you down. I mean, you were going to have to defend that. Mm-hmm. And that is something entirely new, where people could just anonymously make up the most amazing stuff. I had one of my crew bring me something today that was online claiming I'd committed all these crimes. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of laughed at it. But 5-6 years ago, I didn't understand how the web worked. I would have gotten really mad.
Right.
But, I mean, how do you deal with that? Because people could just, I mean, you're a superstar. People
I'm not running for public office, and I don't have my opponent saying that I'm a felon. So, you know, it's a little bit easier for me. Most people say stuff like I can't play guitar very well, or I can't sing very well, or you know, they'll make fun of my name or stuff like that. So they don't really bring up my past. Because
make fun of the cool name like Mustaine.
Well, so there's probably a lot of ways that people can make fun of a lot.
I think they're just jealous, Dave. But you just alluded to something, and again, we've already talked about some of this. You know, driving over here to the studio. Yeah, I saw that last week.
Mm-hmm.
You're alluding to. I'm not claiming Mitt Romney's some great guy. I'm not in love with him. But I mean, come on, the guy has no criminal record. Not Chicago Mafia. Left Bain in '99, and Obama's out there got his people calling him a felon. Excuse me, Obama, you got a lot more skeletons than Romney. Your comments.
See, here's the thing. I'm 50 years old now, and I've lived a great life, and I've been around for a long time, and most of our fans, or most of the people who are against me, are very young, and they're very impressionable, which is a part of being young. That saying that youth is wasted on young people or whatever, that's totally true. I remember when I was really young, I was very impressionable, and I believed a lot of things before I checked it out. And if I would have been told things that I do now are going to affect me later on in life, I would have probably said something like, well, I don't know that I'm going to live that long. But now that I'm 50 and I I've watched so many administrations come and go, and I'm watching my children grow up, which is an awesome part of...
By the way, you've got incredible children.
Thanks. It's an awesome part of when a man and a woman marry and have children, to watch them grow up. Do you have concerns about stuff like that? And you know, sometimes our fans that are younger, they look to me as a big brother or even a father figure because I really care a lot about them. But I have never been more terrified in my life about what's happening to our country. I believe that if we continue on the same path that we're on right now, that America will never be the same. I freaked out the other day because I was looking at some investment stuff and just reading it. And one of the things that it said was that if you get a second passport and you plan on moving out of the country, if you denounce your citizenship because of the taxes that are going on here or any of the things that are going on, like the police state we've become, that if you want to get your passport back, you have to know things like, where did your mom, where did she live before you were born all the way up to now? Where did she go in for prenatal care? Who was in the operating room when you were born? All these ridiculous...
Oh, it's even worse than that. They've introduced a law where if you move somewhere, it's just over. You can never come back. They've introduced the law, and they've introduced a law, which is close to passing. People can look this up if you're listening. This is not a joke. I mean, I feel like it's
not a joke.
I feel like I'm lying, and this is like Associated Press, because it's so crazy. It's not America. Like having the president badmouth, you know, you didn't build your business. We're going to talk about that in a minute, Dave. But they actually came out and said that if the IRS claims you haven't paid all the taxes, no proof, no court, you can't leave.
Well, a friend of ours who just, it's a wonderful lady that's a friend with my wife and her husband who's Canadian, they wanted to go back up to Canada and they wouldn't let him go because there was a tax lien on their house because of a contractor who had done some shady work and they didn't want to pay him. So, the guy put a lien on their house and they're in court right now, but they couldn't even go up to Canada to go visit their relatives.
Incredible. So it's already being put into place. So, the clock is closer to midnight than we thought, but...
Well, here's another thing before we get off of this. Again, looking at these financial things, because, you know, I've got, I'm, you know, filling out my will and everything right now because, you know, I'm nearing the end of my life and hopefully I'll live a long, long time, but I have to face reality, you know, and I'm getting at that age where a lot of men, you know, make that journey either to heaven, which I think I'm going to, or some to hell. And I was looking at this thing and it said that you cannot open a bank account out of the United States of America anymore. If I move to England and say I live there for the rest of my life, if I open a bank account there, they have to notify the United States.
Yes.
So that the United States can continue to tax me, even if I don't live in the United States anymore. And I thought, this is crazy.
Well, America's been taken over by this global government. It is insane. It's not America anymore when these globalist interests take us over and overthrow our Bill of Rights and Constitution. But just to have you repeat what you told me off air about the point about, again, Romney is being called a criminal by Obama, and meanwhile, Obama is engaged in all this stuff.
Mm-hmm. It's sad. It's sad. You know, when you look at Pelosi, Reid, and Obama, they got to remember it's we the people, not we three people. And I am absolutely stunned that, you know, Bill Clinton was going to be impeached for having inappropriate behavior with one person, yet these three are screwing the entire nation and the world, and nobody's doing anything about it. I don't understand why there hasn't been a motion to impeach the guy.
Well, your point right before we went live here was that you've got a Fast and Furious, you've got Solandra, you've got all this corruption openly going on, and then the media's like, Romney's a felon. And again, it's not that Romney's perfect. It's just that this guy calls the police on his neighbor when they're smoking pot in the backyard.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's not shipping guns to Mexico to blame it on the Second Amendment. I mean, it's just, let's shift gears to that.
Mm-hmm.
Dave, what is your take on Fast and Furious? And then tying it in to this new event, this tragedy right next to Columbine in Colorado outside Denver, this tragedy that happens a week and a half before Obama says he'll sign the UN treaty. And he's trying to get Congress to ratify, to register and ban a bunch of our guns.
Well, I had heard about this a while ago, and I had hoped that it was just rumor. But, you know, while we were on stage, we have a song called Guns, Drugs, and Money that we play. And I had gotten so offended as an American that the president had exercised his executive privilege to cover up somebody who, Eric Holder, who... I believe that if you're held in contempt and you have documents that are going to either exonerate you or you know, put you in jail, you know, why hide them if it's going to get you off the hook? So that to me is really mind blowing, and you know, I guess it's been proven that it was staged to restrict the Second Amendment, and it's not just that the crimes that it appears that is taking place. You know, when you look at the Constitution, there's something in the Constitution where you have to get congressional permission to go to war, and if you don't get congressional permission, there's a clause in there where you have a certain amount of time after that where you have to get permission to go to war. And to my knowledge, when we went into Libya, that didn't happen. And it still hasn't happened.
No, you're right. In fact, if there's some emergency, he's got a couple months. But then after that, you've got to go get the congressional approval. They control the purse. Mm-hmm. And they sent in the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, the other generals, the Secretary of Defense, Panetta, and Obama put a letter out. When Congress said, hey, you got to get approval from us, he said, no, I get it from the UN and NATO. I put a letter out,
right,
and they had him go before Congress. We played the clips on the show. They're so incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that woke up the military and police
mm-hmm.
more than anything I've seen. Now, if I go downtown Austin, the cops just stop and go, you were right. We apologize. It's
yeah.
all true.
Yeah.
I mean, I think when I was in Virginia, bullhorning Bilderberg, the cops were on our side to come over and go, no, we saw that. They told us that. I mean, think about that. I'm getting chills right now, Dave.
What bothers me the most about it is the fact that they have these shills that are going on all of the programs defending this Fast and Furious thing. And Brian Terry lost his life and his family. You know, you can try not to watch TV. You can try not to look at the newspapers, but you see this stuff. And it must be devastating to see your own president just kind of sliding this whole thing under the rug. And the thing behind all of this is that, you know, it's not going to stop. You know, when we go through, traveling through all the different checkpoints, over through Europe, all the globalization was taking place and each country had its own border and they had their own language and stuff like that, you'd come up to customs, you'd go to the border, you'd have to stop and hand in their passport and stuff like that, and now you just kind of roll through there. But when you come to your own country, it's harder to come home. It's harder to go through an airport. Here in the United States of America than it was for us even in Moscow. We just got back from Moscow, and we rolled through there so fast. I was laughing about it because we got out of the plane, through customs, got our luggage, and we're in the vans rolling to the hotel for the show faster than we get through customs when I come home to the U.S.
We're not as free as we thought, and what's amazing is it's on the news. Obama legalized a bunch of illegals. And when they do fake stings of businesses and stuff, they just release them. And they're now telling sheriffs all over the country that they are not going to pick up illegals that they arrest, even if they're committing crimes.
I don't know anything about that, but
I
do know that from the people that we've spoken to that are Latino, that we have a huge contingency of Latino fans here in Texas,
all over
in New Mexico, in Arizona, in California. Central and South America, in Spain, and a lot of the neighboring countries around Spain that are still Spanish-speaking fans. And they have relatives that are here, whether they're legal or illegal, and they know that this was a move to get votes. They know that. The one thing that you can't make, just because they don't speak English doesn't mean they're stupid.
Exactly. Well, they've had a lot of tyranny in Latin American countries. They're certainly more savvy in many ways.
Yeah, they are.
Finishing up with Fast and Furious, if Obama can get away with shipping close to 20,000 guns and hand grenades into Mexico and guns into Honduras and then states like Florida and Illinois to drug gangs for whatever reason, I mean, my gosh, what are they going to get away with next? I mean, it really is creepy.
I do know this. It's really amazing how our liberties are being taken away from us. It's like the frog in the pot of boiling water. You know, if it was boiling water when he jumped in, he'd jump back out. But they slowly turn the temperature up. The frog will stay in there until he boils to death. And that's what's happening to us right here. We don't know what's going on. A lot of the American people are so busy working their asses off to make ends meet right now. They don't have time to sit in front of the news. And the news is such pablum. It's opium for the masses. And it's stuff that you want to feel good. See, the thing that I laugh about when I hear Obama say, give the folks a chance. Give everybody a chance. You know, take away from the rich people. Well, what happens when the folks that he's given a chance gets a chance, becomes successful, is rich? Well, then all of a sudden, you're Obama's enemy now. And the thing for me is that, you know, I'm in that 1% that he's talking about. Megadeth won't be able to tour anymore once all these things that he's planning on doing to me happens. On top of the fact that...
Yeah, we've talked privately. You said, listen, after all the taxes and everything, I'm getting like 20% of it. If they do this, it's over.
Yeah.
And that's what happens in Venezuela or Russia. They don't get it. Once you cut out that small profit margin, it's over.
It's done. It's done. And the fact that he would say that I did not build my own business offends me tremendously. I'm disgusted with this guy. And you know, he's my president. You know, I respect the office of the presidency, but I think as a person and the things that he says, I've never heard anything this offensive ever come out of the mouth of a president. And I'm 50. I've heard a lot of presidents talk in my life. And, you know, listeners out there can say what they want about me or be mad at what I'm saying right now. And I'm saying this out of love for you guys. You know, you may not have love in your heart for me, but I have love in my heart for you. And that's why I'm a public figure and I play music. I try and educate people through lyrics. Some of the songs could be construed as being a little bit, you know, unrealistic. You know, some of the songs are a little bit fun. You know, they're make-believe topics and stuff like that. But songs like Peace Sells But Who's Buying is still relevant today. Songs like Holy Wars is still relevant today.
More relevant than ever.
Yeah, absolutely. And that wasn't because I was clever and I came up with a lyric. I paid attention. I watched what happened through the Carter years, through the Ford years, and watched how, you know, what Jimmy Carter did to our country, taxes at 70%, you know, when I was growing up and thinking, how on earth did anybody survive back then? For me, when you take out 5% for the business manager, 15% for the personal manager, 10% for the agent, and 45% for taxes, what's left for Dave? You know, and people think, oh, Dave's a millionaire. No, Dave isn't. Dave is an American that's getting plowed by the government.
Listen, over 90% of the money, it's like 95% that comes in here, goes to the crew and taxes, and they all pay taxes. People don't get it. I mean, feudal serfs paid about 10%. We pay almost everything. People have no idea. They think, well, they've done actuaries where if you took all the rich people's money, what they call rich, in the United States, it'd run the country for like 3 months. I mean, it's gone. But that's who goes and gets their hair done. That's who goes and buys cars and buys houses and buys clothes. That's who's buying stuff.
Right.
You get rid of the middle class and the rich people, it's over. But the ultra rich, they're offshore. They're actually the ones selling this monopoly.
Right. And, you know, the funny thing was many years ago when Obama first got in office, I had said something. I was in Australia and I was on the radio and a lot of people took exception to what I said. I said that he was the most divisive president that I've ever seen. And look what's happening right now. There's race wars. There's class wars. You know, there's sexual wars now. There's religious wars. And, you know, don't we remember how smooth this guy was when he was saying that, you know, we're going to bring everybody together and he's for change and
hope. His minions would say, thank you, I'm getting a free house. And he wouldn't disagree with them, but they're not getting a free house now. That's what's so amazing about this, Dave, is that when he says, if you have a small business, you didn't build that. That's a quote.
I mean,
that is a direct attack on the American dream. And everybody I know who's a musician, an artist, a person that gets up at 4 a.m. to make a bricklayer donuts, they know, no, I did this, man. Don't sit there and say I didn't do this.
Get up in the morning and they...
The little bit you get to keep.
Yeah.
And then they're telling you, you didn't do that.
So see, for me, the way that I get any kind of solace out of what's going on right now, because, you know, I've been playing for a long time and I don't plan on playing another 30 years. Although, you know, I would like to be able to play music for the rest of my life. I don't know that I'll be doing it on the road. The pleasure I get out of that is being on stage, looking at people's faces, smiling and stuff like that. The screeching reality is when you travel and you go back through the airports. When we left here last time, my 14-year-old was groped by the TSA, and I was so mad. I was swearing, and the one very large woman said, "What's that?" And I said, you heard what I said. And Pam, my wife, grabbed me and she said, don't say anything, because she knows that these guys are power drunk and that they probably would have arrested me for just saying something about them groping my 14-year-old. The thing that really is blowing me away is this molecular scanner, this PICO scanner, whatever they're talking about. And it's not only here. The Russians have one, too. So it's something that's very real. And I read up on that, and it says it's about gunpowder and explosives, and that's what the primary purpose of it is. But it also says that it can read inside of your system and say what kind of medication you're on. So I imagine with this...
It's a total invasion of your Fourth Amendment.
Right. I imagine that what they're going to do is they're going to have a database to cross-reference whether the person that shows up that's got narcotics in his system is under doctor's care or not. Or if, you know, they for example, for me, I when we're on tour, we're around people who do pyro. And pyro is gunpowder and explosives for the fireworks.
Yeah, you have it, fire and explosions.
So if I shake hands with my pyrotechnician, I'm going to get arrested for being a terrorist, because I've got trace elements of gunpowder and explosives on me because there's fireworks going on. On top of the fact that because of the cocaine use and people using dollar bills rolling,
it's on everything.
There's traces of cocaine on all money, so anybody touching currency is going to have trace remnants of cocaine on their hands. That's going to show up, and it's just madness, you know, to think that it's getting to this point. I mean, I can handle us having security, but not like this.
It's about making all of us the criminals, but the state is exempt. Look at all the TSA agents that have been caught being convicted pedophiles. They're hiring felons, robbing people, abusing.
Yeah, I saw something the other day. This guy was an artist, and he had a half ounce of weed in his suitcase, and the guy wrote on one of those cards that I get in my suitcases every time I open them, "Come on, son." But they left his herb in there, and the guy tweeted and said, can you believe this guy let me off? And
I saw that. I saw the note. So it's all selectively enforced. And then a woman had a catheter. They ripped that out of her. Colostomy bags.
Oh, my God.
Old World War II vets. People,
children.
I mean,
handicapped kids.
Yeah.
Like that. Yeah.
It's all a giant power grab. And now they're saying, because of the shooting.
Mm-hmm.
Out in Denver, they want TSA in the malls.
Yeah, people will stop going to movies. You know, if the people that own the theaters are that stupid, they're going to put themselves out of business. You know, and rightly so. If they do that, they deserve to be put out of business.
Yeah, because even though it's a tragedy, 13 dead and 70-plus wounded, that many die every day on the state's highways in Texas. I mean, literally, this they're hyping this culture of total fear up.
Mm-hmm.
When we talked this morning after the shooting out in Denver, I mean, we discussed your bottom line gut feeling, and most of my listeners agree. I mean, you've got a UN treaty next week.
Mm-hmm.
You've got every time they want to pass legislation, they don't have the votes in the Senate. There are a couple shy, and then magically this happens. It's a guy in a mask, and then they catch some other guy who's involved in some government program with brain technology.
Mm-hmm.
All they do is drug some guy up, and then like Sirhan, they say he's a, I mean, what's your gut, Dave, about what happened here?
Well, I'm very, very sorry for the loss of human life, for the people that were at the movie theater, for the victims, and the loss for the families. So I don't want to seem insensitive at all, because if it happened to me or any of my family, I would be outraged.
But they want to know who did it, really.
They do want to know who did it. And the thing is, you got to ask yourself, where do you get flash grenades from?
How do you, because they admit it's a modern theater, those things are sunk in. They only open one way. It's not like it's just an iron hinge. It's in the wall and opens. A rhinoceros can't knock those down. Everybody's pointing that out.
Yeah.
How did he knock, they said he knocked the door down.
I don't know. I don't know enough about the actual thing because, you know, we've been out here house hunting I saw your tweet this morning, or your text to me this morning, and I thought, oh my God, Alex has lost his mind because you said something about Batman and what happened. And I was like, huh? And then I saw it on the news this morning, and I was mortified. But see,
yeah, my text was like, I think this is staged to pass the UN treaty.
Mm-hmm. But see, the thing is that I had said something about this whole gun thing, and that I thought it was very cowardly that the Obama administration had used Hillary Clinton to go behind the backs of the American people to get this done in the UN instead of get it done in the U.S., because the people of America won't go for it. One of the reasons that the Japanese didn't push past Pearl Harbor was there was a famous emperor or something thing that he said, that he wasn't going to go to the mainland because behind every blade of grass was an American with a gun. And, you know,
that was Admiral Yamamoto, yeah.
Yeah. And I was just reading something a couple days ago. I think it was Washington had said something about, you know, having arms is what gives America its teeth. And I can't
call them liberty teeth. It gives the teeth of the First Amendment.
Right.
The Second Amendment. You're absolutely right, Dave, and you're quoting Veritas here. The whole thing reeks to high heaven.
Yeah. And again, like I said, you know, I had heard that there were flash grenades that were used.
Yeah.
And the only people that can get those are military and police.
That's what they said. They said there was like multiple guys in black uniforms, and they thought there were multiple shooters, and no one did anything because he was, quote, a cop. And somebody went and opened the door and let him in. First, they knocked the door down. Let me tell you, and then it's a white guy living in an almost completely black apartment complex, and now his house is booby-trapped. I mean, this thing looks... Look, why does it always happen?
That's sad for the neighbors there, because, you know, having your house booby-trapped, people that are near you are going to be hurt, you know? It's just so sad the way the world has become, you know? For me, I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus Christ. He's my Lord and Savior, and I know that you know, there's a big plan. I talked about that in Holy Wars. And, you know, I'm just shaking my head thinking, God, how bad is it going to get? How bad is it really going to get?
You know, Dave, I think this is just the beginning. I think you foresaw it decades ago. I mean, I think this is just the beginning
George Orwell foresaw it decades ago. I got to tell you, when I read 1984, I thought, this is the craziest stuff in the world. You know, this will never happen. And right now, they've got people going back into books and taking stuff out of the history books to change things. And just like Orwell said in 1984, when the guys were there going back and erasing people ever lived that had gone against the government. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah, that's because he'd actually been
a poster here that says Ingsoc, and I knew exactly what that was.
Exactly. He had been a communist and discovered it was all a fraud.
Mm-hmm.
So he'd worked for Stalin in Spain.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why he said, well, I couldn't get this published as a nonfiction. So many, you know, Brits in the intelligentsia were socialist. So he said, I got it published as a... you know, fiction book.
Mm.
But no, he'd experienced that type of double think and double speak. And he extrapolated that this is what communism would build if it took over. And is North Korea not the 1984 system? I mean, it's the ultimate expression.
Wow. That's a whole nother show.
Dave, we have talked about so much here tonight. And there's a few other points that I wanted to raise here for you. What do you, I mean, you have the courage to speak out for what you believe, and the media distorts it and stuff, but in the final equation, people know you're for real, and that's why your fans appreciate you. But what do you make of, say, last year, Hank Williams Jr. comes out and criticizes Obama and says, he actually still, you know, the full quote was, both parties are destroying America, we're becoming Nazi Germany,
mm-hmm.
and I'm mad at Obama. But they came out and said, he says Obama is Nazi Germany. What do you make of them getting him kicked off Monday Night Football? By the way, he's selling more records, I saw the other day, now since that happened.
That's the sweetest revenge of all success. And, you know, I'm not a huge fan of Hank Williams Jr., not because I don't like him, but it's because I don't really know him. But I did see him on a show the other day playing some music, and you know, I was thinking what it must be like to be somebody in that genre, to be at the top of your game, and then to have someone try and publicly spank you by doing something like that. You know, I didn't think he was the kind of guy that would take that kindly, and that he probably would in some way get his revenge, and success is the best revenge.
Well, that's it. And he's putting out records now just saying, you know what, I'll keep my guns, I'll keep my family, I'll keep my freedom, you can keep your change.
Funny thing too, when you say keep our guns, with this thing about people, you know, having to give their guns back, you know, all that's gonna do is it's gonna prompt more illegal gun purchases, and it's gonna cause a lot of deaths of law officers and military men and women who are gonna be forced to go against the Second Amendment to come and get our guns. And the thing that I appreciate a lot is the Oath Keepers. Have taken the oath to be a military person, a serviceman or woman, and, which says that they're going to uphold the Constitution, and you can't skip parts of the Constitution. It's not like a smorgasbord where you can just take what you want and leave the rest. The whole thing is the Constitution, not part, not half, not quarters, nothing. So for anybody to expect these men and women to have to actually go against their oath that they took, their oath, everything, their moral fiber, put their word on the line and go out there and risk their life for us and then come back and maybe potentially kill Americans just because they have firearms, which is our right. That just reeks of, I mean, I don't even want to say the word because to me, it just seems like communism and I don't want to be like some McCarthyism kind of guy, you know.
No, but when tyranny comes, you've got to recognize it, David. You have incredible courage here. It is the military and police, because I was critical 10 years ago or so before I understood a more sophisticated view. On average, I've met them, as you have. They're really good people.
They're good people. A lot of them are.
And they've been given false paradigms to follow. But now, the fact that they are being trained for gun confiscation, that's finally woke them up. Most of them are actually saying, we're not going to do it. So the tyrants on top, Obama and his controllers, they're trying to get this in place, but here's the deal. No one's going to follow that order. The vast majority.
I don't think so either. And you know, one of the things about police officers, you know, a lot of people call them pigs. I had two brother-in-laws that were cops. And, you know, they weren't bad cops. If you want to know why cops go bad, watch the movie Serpico. It's
pressure. Peer pressure.
Yeah, peer pressure. And the fact that, you know, you're going to go out and fight crime. And there was one scene in the movie where he was just left to be shot. You know,
I've interviewed Frank Serpico. He's a listener.
Really?
He's an amazing guy. We just had him on, 2 weeks ago? Yeah.
Well, you know, I watched the movie when I was a kid, I'm a big Al Pacino fan, and I remember the movie a lot. I remember when I first went to New York, we were kind of talking to people and saying, who do you think you are, Serpico? You know, this kind of stuff. But the bottom line is that, you know, my brother-in-laws were good men and they were good cops. And, you know, we have so many military men and women that come to Megiddo shows and, you know, they go like, holy wars, oh man, hey, we know we got Vic painted on our tank. I got pictures of stealth bombers and stuff like that with our logo on the front, or Vic, you know, the one particular one shows them in a conductor's outfit and the plane's called Symphony of Destruction. To me, that's very flattering. Because when I was a kid, I think it was the Korean War was happening when I was 18, and I put my card in for the Selective Service. I was ready to go. If they would have drafted me, I would have gone. I wasn't a draft dodger. So, you know, I grew up to really respect the men and women who go out and fight for us.
Absolutely. Dave Mustaine, pretty powerful interview here today. I mean, there's so many points to cover. It's our choice, liberty or tyranny. What is the bottom line? If you have to crystallize who Dave Mustaine and Megadeth, Megadeth.com, everything you stand for, what is it?
I'm a Christian man who loves his family, loves his country, and most importantly, loves God. And I'm willing to fight for those things. And I'm willing to share those things with people that would like to know about it. I'm not willing to get into it with people who don't care about it. I'm not going to defend myself or explain myself. It is what it is.
I agree with that. I found that debating is like pearls before swine. Mm-hmm. If people want to just, you know what, it's like, great, hey, you got your views. I'm not going to fight with you about it.
Well, I got a pig analogy, too. It's like teaching a pig how to sing. It'll never work, and it annoys the pig.
All right, Dave. What's coming up new with Megadeth? You're in demand all over the world. The new album, 13, has done really well. Mm-hmm. What's coming up new for Megadeth?
Well, we're really excited about what's going on. We're getting ready to do a new record. We're leaving in a couple days for Asia, and we'll be coming back and continuing work on this new record and go to South America in September and come back home and continue to do work on the new record. We're looking for a new release the beginning of next spring, hopefully. And we're super, super excited about what's going on for us. We've continued to congeal as a band with David Ellison coming back and he and Sean Drover as our rhythm section. It's very important the bass player and the drummer are tight. And David is such an excellent bassist and Sean's such a great drummer. The two of them just needed to be familiar with one another. And they spend time together all day long when we're on tour, traveling and doing things, mostly seeking out Starbucks around the world. But, you know, I'm excited about the music that we're going to be writing. We just changed agencies. We're with the prestigious CAA agency in Beverly Hills. We're going to be going to sign a new contract, for our recording, career. Our contract with Roadrunners Up. We haven't really, notified anybody what our decision is. And, as soon as we do, you'll be one of the first people we tell about, because, you know, we're still kind of deciding. But for the most part, we're getting ready to record, this next record. And I'm sure it's going to be chock full of, all kinds of subject matter that our class of 2008 has given us.
In closing, I think it's safe to say that you're not going to be intimidated. You're going to say what you believe. You're going to stand, you know, for liberty, and success is the greatest, you know, revenge. Living well is the greatest revenge, as the French say. But going back here, Megadeth's always been hot as a pistol for 20 plus years.
Mm-hmm.
But am I wrong in saying this, what I hear on radio and see out there, that it's even getting hotter, or that it's what you'd call a resurgence? Are you seeing that happen?
You mean as far as people showing up, popularity with the music?
All I know is I just see and hear more of a Megadeth buzz than I heard 5 years ago.
Well, I think that when if you look at the cycle, music is cyclical, and heavy metal in general is more popular when times are tough, which is a terrible dynamic. If you look at the paradigm, heavy metal music should not be successful when people are struggling. But that's one of the things that, you know, they don't want to hear a bunch of, you know, vapid, anorexic, alternative, you know, androgynous guys that are singing about love and flowers and, you know, these kind of like ecstasy trips and stuff. You know, they want to know what's going on. They want to know what's happening in their world, and they want to have people they can look to who are rugged individuals who don't look like they could very easily be your sister, you know,
And
they want to have somebody that they can believe in, somebody who's been successful. You know, one of the things that we do when we meet people backstage, which is always a privilege for us to meet our fans and thank them, because, you know, a lot of times they thank us, and it's usually, you know, like,
no, I agree. When fans thank me, I'm like, no, you don't get it. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't you. Yeah.
Like, I just was talking with one of the directors for World Vision, which is a Christian organization that helps the poor. And because of our fans, we've been financially successful, so that, you know, me being obedient as a Christian, I tithe. And for the last 2 years, we were capable of tithing an amount that provided brand new clean water wells in Africa for villages
right.
that had no water. So we saw the villages prior to the wells, and the kids had to drink water out of these filthy wells that animals drank out of and defecated.
Well, that's what makes them sick. Yeah.
Right. And now they're drinking clean water, and you see them after they're done, they go and smile, and I started getting tears in my eyes watching them to hear the mothers say that the children couldn't bathe before because they had to decide.
Wow, Dave. You reap what you sow. I don't think there's any other rock bands out there. I don't mean to be mean, but you know, the head of YouTube got caught. Bono, he got caught giving less than 1% to charity while he's pushing UN and global government. And I can't imagine raising millions of dollars and not actually, but you, there you are, you're really actually giving right out of what you raised to build water wells.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't like to toot your horn, but that's a good thing.
Well, I think the cool thing about it was, at the end of the day, you know, you see that the 200 villagers in each village that received the wells, approximately 200 people per village, not only did they get healthy, they also were able to get their livestock healthy. They were able to plant gardens. And one of the success stories was one of the first gardens, they took their 10% of their harvest and gave it to another poor village. And they sell their vegetables now, and they sell the extra water that they have. The flow of the water is stronger than what they can consume or irrigate their gardens with. So they sell the overflow to the other villages there. Now, this has happened twice. And we plan on sticking with World Vision. And I tweeted about this to our fans and just said, thank you so much for doing this, because it wouldn't have happened without the fans' support. We wouldn't have had the opportunity to do this.
But wait a minute. You didn't raise that money off working hard to help build water wells. The government did it. And
I didn't build this business.
Dave, you didn't learn how to play guitar.
Mm-mm. Obama taught me how to play
guitar. You didn't ride around all those buses and, you know, all that hard work, long way to the top.
Mm-hmm.
You want to rock and roll? It's a long way to the top unless government does it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to just be honest and apologize to government? Do you want to thank Kim Jong-il, Mao, Stalin, and all them, and thank them for helping you be who you are today?
No.
Oh, man, I love it.
Beep that out, because they'll be so hypocritical about my Christian stuff.
Oh, whatever. You know, that's what I don't like, is these some of these fake Christians, like Pharisees, they get mad at people that are real with a cuss word, but then don't care about real evil going on. Yeah.
You know, I'm a freedom fighter. I really try and set a good example for our listeners and stuff like that. But as far as like thanking, you know, people who, you know, oppress the masses, you know, when you see some of these leaders that are in gold, gilded palaces and, you know, the people are just right outside. You know, like when we went into India, for example, we stayed in a hotel that had 300 rooms and 600 staff.
Wow.
And right outside the hotel, people were begging in the street, and you could throw pennies in the street, and the children would literally fist fight each other over it. I mean, I'm not some sissy that cries all the time, but I was very
depressing.
Upset about that, because, you know what, I hate hardship. I was homeless. I lived on the street. I lived in a car for a long time. You know, I'm trying to tell my kids who have been brought up, you know, in a very safe environment, you know, your dad lived on the street.
Oh, no, he didn't. I can't even imagine you living on the street. Oh, I know. They have no idea. Yeah.
And now I'm really grateful for everything that
you're grateful for what Obama gave you. Because Dave, you came up from nowhere to do everything you've done from the street. And that was thanks to government, even though you didn't get any government help.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
In fact, I want to thank government for my 17 years on air and the crew out there running the show now. And,
you know, what's sad about all this is that, you know, even though we're joking around about this, this is no joking matter.
No, I had so much crew. When you said earlier, a president saying this, it didn't register. Darren McBrain, one of our reporters, came up that morning after he said it, like last Monday, and he said, I never thought I'd hear a president talk like that. It's so weird. It's like something Mao Zedong would say.
Right, right. I'm not really aware of what Mao Zedong said, but I do know who he was and what he did. And it just surprises me. Again, to go back to this thing, why hasn't somebody moved to impeach this man? You know, with all of the proof about his birth certificate being fake, and you see the signs in Kenya that says the birthplace of Barack Obama. Hello? Come on, guys. How stupid are we right now?
His own PR people for 16 and a half years, his publicist.
Everything he has
put out that he was born in Kenya. His wife says he was born there, but then we go, hey, you say you're born in Kenya. Shut up, conspiracy theorist.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, the one thing, I guess the best revenge is when you look back in history at what Michelle wore at his inauguration. She had a black dress on with two red triangles, so she looked like the Black Widow turned upside down.
Yeah.
You ever seen that?
Yeah, I saw it.
Before? Yeah, so there's got to be some symbology there. You just don't wear something like that to some event like that without there being some kind of future message being told.
Well, Dave, we've done a lot of interviews in the last 5-6 years that I've interviewed you, but I think this is the best overall. Amazing. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
For spending time with us. And people can, what, follow you at Twitter?
At Twitter at Megadeth.com, we have you know, a lot of different ways you can, depending on how deep they want to get involved with us. You know, we've got a really great fan club, our cyber army, and our Facebook page, you know, we have two different ways that we tweet. One is me, myself, but we also have a character, our mascot, Vic Rattlehead, and he's got his own Twitter account. And the stuff that I don't feel comfortable saying, he'll say.
Good. So Rattlehead said it. All right. Peace sells, but who's buying? Dave Mustaine, thank you so much for this interview.
You're
great.
Welcome.
Great seeing you here in Austin, brother.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right, folks. Well, that's interview with Dave Mustaine, Megadeth.com. I'm Alex Jones of Infowars.com, signing off from the front lines of the Infowar, because there's a war on for your mind.